there are two types of small business owners. Those who are already profiting from the power of social media, building stronger, more powerful relationships with their customers and prospects. And those who are still sitting on the sidelines, wondering if it will work for them too. If you're still sitting on the sidelines, then no hassle social media is for you. Finally, there's a fast and easy done-for-you way to use social media marketing to connect with more customers and prospects, accelerating the know, like, and trust factor, all with no experience necessary. No Hassle Social Media not only shows you exactly what to do, it provides you with a ton of great content that you can use to promote your business and build stronger relationships with clients and potential clients. You get blog posts, Twitter tweets, Facebook posts, LinkedIn updates, and even video scripts. Get started profiting from social media today at www.nohasslesocialmedia.com. That's www.nohasslesocialmedia.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Berg, co-author of The Go-Giver and author of Adversaries Into Allies, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Those are always great things in anybody's business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I am so excited about this week's show because my special guest is a great friend of mine and a mentor to many entrepreneurs and just a real godsend as far as helping them make more money in their business, Diane Gardner. Let me tell you a little bit about Diane. Diane is your tax coach, and this is the best-selling author. She's also the best-selling author, by the way, of Stand Apart and Why Didn't My CPA Tell Me About That. And she's been working in the accounting field with small businesses since 1982, and she's the founder of Adept Business Solutions and Tax Pro Solutions, which meets the needs of her clients by providing accounting and tax planning services. Diane is married, has a daughter, and like me, she has one grandchild. She enjoys reading, camping, picnics in the woods with her husband, Dutch oven cooking, and spending lots of time with her family. She's also active in her church and serves on the board of the Twin Lake Friends Camp. Diane, you're a busy woman, and you're going to be coming up on tax season soon. How are you doing?
I am.
And you're so involved in so much stuff, but I know once even the end of this year, you don't even wait until January, but then you kind of hibernate. You get up and you work on taxes and meet with your clients for like several months in a row.
Yeah, I always say I go underground for about 4 months.
Yeah. So, you know, I love the whole tax coach thing. What is a tax coach, and, you know, why would the entrepreneurs and small business owners who listen to the show need one?
Well, Jim, a tax coach is real similar to the coaching services you offer to your entrepreneurs that you work with, in that a tax coach kind of comes along beside you, takes a look at your tax and financial information, usually prepares some sort of analysis of what's going on in your tax life so you can understand it, and starts identifying places that you are probably overpaying your taxes. Billions of dollars are overpaid in tax each and every year by small business owners just simply because they don't know different deductions that they could potentially be taking because they're just not your normal standard deductions like everybody knows your utilities and your phone and advertising and insurance and those kinds of things. But it's those little less than common deductions that can mean thousands and thousands of dollars for people.
Diane, you know, I got to share something with you about, I think about 7 years ago, so I've been in business for 13 years, and about 7 years ago is when I decided to get a CPA into here to kind of get, it might be longer than that, but it was a decision I made mostly based on time, and my inability to keep current on tax things. And when he started doing my taxes, he started, so I was willing to make that trade-off for time, but when he started doing my tax, he goes, oh man, Jim, you're leaving way too much, you're leaving out way too many deductions, and he started finding me all this stuff, which more than paid for his service. I'm sure you got a few stories like that with the way you help your clients.
I do. I love it when I can give them a 200 or a 300% return on investment on what they've invested in me versus the tax savings that we can get for them.
That's so cool. You know, here's the thing, and you know this from our working together. I tell people, you know, you need to be good at marketing and promoting your business, and to a degree, you have to have your skill set there. But when there's things that you don't know, don't be cheap and just try and do it yourself. You know, people that use QuickBooks. I mean, I use QuickBooks too. I'm not downplaying QuickBooks. But when you try and do everything yourself, even if you're maybe a little proficient at it, I think it's a waste of your time when there's other people who would do it better. And like I say, the money that I pay my accountant every year, I know not only is it time savings, but he's getting me back by finding and staying current on all the tax law and stuff like that. I mean, that's his job, right?
It is.
Her job.
Right. And we spend, so many hours every year in continuing education classes, reading newsletters, reading articles, just all this really, really stuff that most people would find terribly boring, just so we can stay current, because every time you turn around, there's a new change coming. Or in the case of some of these laws that have been passed in the last few years, as the law starts rolling out, and where I'm referring to the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, there's all this hidden tax changes that were hidden in that law that are starting to come to light now. And it's causing a little bit of havoc
book,
in
Diane.
The tax
yeah,
world.
Yeah, I mean, you wrote a book. I want to give props to your book. It was called Obamacare Survival Guide, How to Survive the Onslaught of Regulations, Mountains of Additional Paperwork, and Added Expense. And you wrote that specifically for entrepreneurs to help understand that. And how's that doing?
It's doing pretty good. A lot of people have been very thankful. It's a very short, very condensed, just kind of a general overview, because there's no way I could put a whole bunch of stuff about that law in a small, readable kind of book. But just tried to give people the overview so they knew if they were going to be affected by it or not, and if so, what the potential ramifications could be.
Yeah. Listen, before I get to my next question, I'm sure people are going, Jim, ask her how I can get a copy of that. So how can people get a copy of your Obamacare Survival Guide?
All they need to do is send me an email, diane@adeptbusiness.biz, that's B-I-Z, and I'll be happy to send them a copy of it, as well as out on my website, I've got a few other books I'd be happy to send copies of.
Oh, cool. Very good. So Diane, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see entrepreneurs and small business owners make that cost them hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars every year in taxes?
Probably the biggest mistake I see people make is having the wrong entity type for their business. A lot of times they've outgrown their entity type that they started with, and because they're so busy running their business and all the day-to-day stuff, they're not thinking about maybe it's time to move into a different type of entity that would fit their business better. And that is one of the biggest areas I see that I can usually swoop in and save them just thousands and thousands of dollars on the wrong entity type. And then,
Diane, can I interrupt you real quick?
You bet.
Just to make sure people understand, are you talking about whether they're a sole proprietor, an LLC, or an S-Corp, or is that what you mean by entity?
I am, yeah. Most of the time, people kind of seem to start out as a sole proprietor just because they don't really know where they're going with this business. It may or may not make any money, and then down the road, they actually start making some money. And at that point, sole proprietor may not be the best entity type, or they start out as a single member LLC, or they start out as just a regular LLC or something. And after a few years' time, those may not be the best entities for them, for their business type and where they are today and their plans for tomorrow.
You know, when I started out, just like most, as a sole proprietor, and I really investigated I think I was in business a couple years, and then I incorporated, but I spent so – and everybody was like, LLC was the fashionable thing to do. In fact, I think there's commercials on the radio about, oh, become an LLC, get protection for your personal assets, things like that. But luckily I hooked up with a smart person. Well, I hope you'll agree, but hooked up with a smart person who advised me to become an S-Corp, because there's some tax advantages to be an S corp. It's probably hard to give really specific advice, but are there any general rules about LLC versus S corp?
Well, Jim, LLC is probably one of my most favorite entity types because of its flexibility. An LLC can act like a sole proprietorship, it can act like a general partnership, or it can act like an S-corp or even a C-corp. So an LLC is kind of nice in the states that accept an LLC and recognize it. Because if somebody's an LLC and we determine that maybe their single-member LLC isn't the best entity type, without too much work on, you know, my part, the IRS will approve a new entity type. They're still an LLC, which means they don't have to worry about issuing shares of stock, and they don't have to worry about some of the shareholder meetings and minutes and some of that kind of stuff because they're still an LLC. So we can kind of walk the best of both worlds with an LLC in the states that recognize it.
Right. So are there states that don't recognize it? I assume that was a national or federal.
Yeah, no, it's state controlled, and there are some states out there that don't recognize it, and then there's some states that really don't like it, like California, and they have a gross receipts tax on it, so you won't hardly find any LLCs in the state of California because they don't like them.
So if you were working with somebody in California, and again, if I'm asking too much of a specific question for you to give advice on the radio, you feel free not to answer. But if you were working with a small business owner in California, would you then advise them to be an S-corp over a sole proprietor for the tax and legal protection?
More than likely, right.
Okay.
And I'm going to use the famous accounting term. It depends, but more than likely.
There you go. It depends. Consult your local authority. There you go. Diane, how does a business owner decide what type of entity they should have? I mean, are there, you know, three or four basic questions, or, you know, because there's a lot of people who, as you've already said, start out with a sole proprietor, and that's what they call pass-through income. It goes right from your business right to your personal statement, and there is no protection as far as your house if things went bad with your business. It is you, right? I mean, that's kind of the definition of a sole proprietorship.
Yeah, it is you, and if something goes south in your business, you could be right in the fire line and lose all your personal assets or a good majority of them. To determine what's the best entity type, I like to prepare an in-depth analysis where we look at it from the tax standpoint, obviously. But then we look at it from the liability protection point, how much liability exposure do they have in their business? And then I also like to look at it from the possibility of being able to do some fringe benefits. How important is some of that in their business? How important is the continuity of life? If something happened to you as the business owner, how important is it that your business continues to operate without you being, you know, at the helm, so to say? So there's a whole analysis that goes into it, and it's not something zip down the checklist, oh, I got 3 out of 5, I should be this.
Hmm.
Because depending on the kind of business, the different areas have more weight than others.
Right. Now, I know you're in Idaho, and we got a pretty big reach with our show here. Are you able to, because I know and you have a lot of people working for you in your company, are you able to do taxes and general bookkeeping for people outside of your area, or are there certain state limits, or how does that work?
Well, Jim, because I'm an enrolled agent, I am licensed by the IRS, so I can practice in all 50 states.
Wow.
So that is a huge thing over somebody who is a CPA and is licensed by the state that they're in. Sometimes they're a little more limited to reaching out to some of the other states, but an enrolled agent, I can practice in all 50 states, and I can move from one state to another and still be able to help people. And I currently have clients from Pennsylvania to Hawaii.
Oh, that's amazing. So just so you know, I think I've had like 10 questions that I prepared, and I've only asked 3 of them because the way our conversation keeps going. But I roll with what I think my listeners want to hear. So let me ask you, suppose somebody is a small business owner, a solopreneur, you know, maybe has a home office. How do they decide? What's kind of the deciding point when they kind of get, you know, they just start out bootstrapping? And what's the deciding point where they should start having somebody kind of pay their bills or just do their taxes quarterly or otherwise? And, you know, when does somebody generally figure that's a good investment?
Well, I like to say from day one, but I know they can't always afford it from day one. So we try to work very hard with them to come up with a system where they can kind of keep their own records. Sometimes it's as simple as an Excel spreadsheet or something, but I do like to get involved with their taxes right from the first year because there's some elections and things that need to be made with a brand new business, and a new business owner won't even be aware of those, and they can be giving away deductions right out the gate because they didn't know that they should elect to do certain things on that initial return. So at the minimum, I would say have a professional help you with your tax return right out the gate. You may have to wait till you're profitable before you can afford some more bookkeeping type help. Definitely once you start hiring employees, get some professional help on the payroll because there's so many rules and laws. Some are federal, some are state. Then you don't need to find out down the road that you just created a major oops and now you owe all kinds of fines and penalties because you weren't aware of it.
Wow. You know, Diane, I know you got a quite a large business in Idaho, a lot of businesses in your immediate trading area. But how would a small business owner work with somebody? You know, is it all via internet? Do they mail you stuff, or like how physically does that work? If somebody, I'm sure there's people that are impressed with you listening to you right now. How does that actually work? If you were to work with somebody, as you said, you got a client or two in Hawaii. How does that physically work?
We do a lot of emailing things back and forth. Sometimes there's FedExing of packages. There's phone conferences, Skype conferences. We can drop things in the portal on our website to where with technology today, I can almost be in the same room with you. In fact, the last few years I've done a tax return for a client who's been over in Afghanistan, and we've done his tax appointment via Skype. And he's just sent me a package of stuff, and we get on the Skype and sit down, and we have his tax appointment, and everything, it's as if he was here in the room. Other than we have to keep the time zones, you know, figured out, so we're not calling each other in the middle of the night, but it's amazing what technology allows us to do. I'm no longer limited to just working within my own geographical area.
Oh, that's awesome. Let me ask you this. What's the difference between tax preparation, tax projections, tax planning, and, you know, things like that?
That's a great question because people really get those all confused. Tax preparation mainly is recording history. So when you take all your pile of records or your QuickBooks backup or whatever it might be into someone to do a tax return for you, they're recording what happened the previous year. They're taking all your numbers and information and they're putting them on the right lines of the right forms and recording it, and voila, here's your tax return. The next step into that process is tax projection, and it's usually a separate engagement. Tax projection is we'll take that historical data and have a meeting, a consultation with the business owner and find out kind of what their business is doing in the current year. And I'm usually doing a lot of these in the summer and fall months. What's happening with the business? Where do we think we might end up in sales? Are we bringing, rolling out a new product or service? Have they maybe hired some new employees, changed a location, things like that, to where we can pull all this together and come up with a estimated number of what we think their income might be, their gross and their various expenses and then their net, so that they might know how much tax that they think that they'll owe for this coming year. And we can do a few things to move some stuff around, making sure that, you know, if they're going to buy a piece of equipment, they get it bought by a certain date, and we can look at Section 179, and we can look at funding retirement plans and some things like that. But then the final step in that process is actual proactive tax planning. And tax planning, the cool thing about that is we are working into the future. We're looking from today forward to about 3 to 5 years. I generally don't go out further than that because who knows what's going to happen. Even 5, you're pushing it pretty good in this economy. But we sit down and we take an all-encompassing look at their personal and business life, look for money that's already being spent, whether it's in their personal or business life, that could potentially be a tax deduction that isn't currently being deducted. So can we restructure something so we can now make this a deductible expense and do it legally, you know, through IRS-approved strategies? And that's where the fun begins. I get to get a little creative out there and watch people's eyes light up when I can show them if we moved it from here to here, this would save you this much money. or if we move something from here to here or restructured part of your business maybe into a second company or, you know, some of those types of things, we get a little creative and are able to save them usually thousands of dollars each year. And they just like, wow, why didn't somebody else tell me this? I've been doing this for years. Why didn't somebody else say something about this? And it's because most accountants are great at recording history. They're great at doing the short-term tax projections, but it takes a lot of specialized training to be able to get in and really do that proactive tax planning.
Yeah, what a great answer. By the way, I want to share a couple things. You know, I have my accountant, my CPA, meet with me at the end of every quarter. Well, first of all, because we have quarterly, you know, payroll and taxes and things like that. But we're always projecting what the tax penalty or you know, what we're going to owe in taxes. Because my personal strategy is I don't want to owe anything, and I don't want a big refund. Because, you know, I was reading somewhere in the paper today where refunds might even be very, very delayed because, just, again, a lot of confusion with the tax code and the health care law and things like that. So I don't want to be sitting waiting for somebody to give me my money back. So we actually look every single quarter at how the business is doing, what our projected personal income is going to be, and things like that. So I think that's – do you agree that's wise instead of just waiting until the end of the year and figuring out what's going on?
Very wise, and that's a very unusual accountant that they're being that proactive with you. Unfortunately, most of them aren't. They get busy and they don't even think about it until maybe late fall. Oops, I better call so-and-so in, and let's at least run a quick projection. So
Yeah, I told him when he got on board, I said, I want you to keep me lean, mean, and legal. I want to pay every tax that I owe, but I don't want to pay a penny more. And if there's things I'm missing, you point them out. And I always say, I'm going to ask for things, and if I'm wrong, you have to tell me just because I'm the client. Don't go along with what I say. And, you know, a funny story is, and this is the advantage of working with someone like you and the accountant that I have who, is, as you say, is very proactive. So, you know, I bought a boat this past May, and when I was getting ready to buy it, I, you know, even though he's my business accountant, and he does my personal as well, but I told him what I was doing. I said, is there anything I need to be aware of? Are there any exemptions I can claim? In other words, you know, tell me everything I'm allowed to do and what I'm not allowed to do. And he told me that the size of my boat and things like that, I can write off the interest on the loan because it's technically a summer home. And the other thing he said is you can, you know, if you do business meetings or take clients out on the boat, you know, that's a deductible expense. And that excited me, Diane. I got to tell you, that really excited me. And so I'm actually planning, you're aware of this, and I'm going to start doing something called masterminding on the Chesapeake and actually use my boat for business, which is a way to help, you know, with the expense of it. But it's kind of combining my business and my personal pleasure. So
right.
I think
you,
that's what, isn't that cool?
It is, and you might look into the 7-day rental rule where you can rent it to yourself for a maximum of 7 days for your business and not have to pick that up as rental income personally, but you can take it as rental expense on your business side.
Yeah, he actually shared that with me as well.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to mention that on the phone, but he mentioned that, which, again, was very exciting to me. But that, see, right there, I think, when I recognized that, because I immediately did a little research, what a boat's rent for and things like that, and, man, you should have seen a smile on my face that day because, I mean, there's a legitimate way that the business, so to speak, can help support my personal thing. But so my overall point there is not yay for Jim's boat, but when you work with somebody like yourself, somebody who's smart and stays up on the current tax law, that in and of itself, I mean, what I'm going to save and or make by using my boat for business as well as personal more than pays, I think, for my accountant for the entire year.
You bet. In fact, when I saw your first video of you using your boat, I knew what your strategy was. It's like, oh, kudos, he's got a good accountant working for him.
Oh, that's great. Oh, Diane, I'm looking at the clock, and we've got like 3 or 4 minutes, and I've still got like 7 questions. I want to ask you a favor. I know you're going to say yes because we're good friends. Will you come back for another episode? Because this has been so much fun. You know, I actually didn't think I'd have this much fun talking about taxes and accounting, but I think there's a whole lot of value in, you know, in this kind of conversation. Would you come back in a little while, and we'll do a round two?
You bet. Yeah, this has been fun because it's not too often that I can show people that taxes can be fun.
Taxes, well, okay, you might be overstepping a little.
Okay.
I'm just kidding you. You know, that's so interesting. And, well, first of all, before I close, I want to give people a chance to find out more about you. So I know you gave your website once. Is that still the best place to connect with you, learn more about you?
Well, right now, if they go out to adeptbusiness.biz, they can request a copy, a free copy of my 10 Most Expensive Tax Mistakes That Cost You Thousands book. And they can also go out to taxcoachforyou.com, and we will be offering that same book out on that website as well. So either one will get you a free copy of the book, and we'd love to get them in people's hands.
And you are able to work with entrepreneurs in all 50 states, is that right?
All 50 states.
That's awesome. And, folks, I just recommend – I can't recommend Diane enough. She's just awesome. She's fun to work with, super smart. Extremely ethical, just a real pleasure and a joy. So, Diane, thank you so much for being my special guest this week.
Well, thanks, Jim, for having me.
You're welcome. Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with Diane Gardner. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Again, all great things, something you should be shooting for. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. So with that goal in mind, come back for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Hey, folks, now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.